Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we stand here in awe of your goodness and your great mercy today, and we ask you to be present among us today as we worship you through the Word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we declare that we love you today as a church family. We come to worship you. We take time out of our day. You are the great God Almighty. And we thank you that you've made a way through love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would reveal his great love to us all today as we gather here to worship in your word. We ask that our hearts would be overflowed with thanksgiving and that our mouths would be able to proclaim your everlasting greatness of the wonders that you do in our lives and to help us celebrate those small times. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we'll be in the book of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles with you, flip over in the Old Testament to the book of 1 Samuel. That's right before 2 Samuel, in case you forgot or are unfamiliar with the Old Testament. But if I were to ask you this morning, what's wrong with your life right now? I'm sure you could probably rattle off quite a list without even a moment's thought. But if I ask you what was going right in your life, if you're anything like me, then you probably have to think about that for a moment. I remember as I was growing up in church, I'd have a deacon or somebody from time to time come and say, "Eric, what's God been doing in your life?" And I'm like, I'd have to think about it. You know, I just don't have those answers readily available. But the Bible says in Hebrews to always be able to answer with a word of grace should someone ask you that. It seems like it's just kind of part of our human condition so much to focus on what's wrong in our lives or what's going on. I mean, even on a test when we take in school, the teachers always mark the wrong answers. Why don't they focus on the right ones we got? They always mark the wrong ones. And a lot of times we feel what's wrong in our lives far outweighs what's going really well in our lives. But at the same time, amazing things can happen when we learn to praise God for even the small victories in our lives that we often let skip by us or not take notice of or just overlook many times. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is celebrating the little victories, the small victories. Because it's the little hinges on which big doors swing. So let's start out our worship in the Word this morning by joining with me in shouting, "Let everything that has breath..." Oh, amen. That was good, good, good. Well, let's please join me in our passage this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's an Old Testament story. An unusual one. You don't hear it quite often in vacation Bible school or Sunday school often a lot of times. But I'll begin reading with verse 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 14. It says, "The men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under the oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies.' So none of the people tasted food. Now all the people came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground." And this honey that they came upon, they didn't even have to prepare it. They didn't have to get stung by any bees getting it. It just kind of fell out of the trees, this honey, on the ground. Sounds like God had supplied it for them. "And when the people had come into the woods, there was honey dripping. But no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore he stretched out the end of his rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. And his countenance was bright and he received strength." There was one of the people who said, "Your father strictly charged the people with an oath saying, 'Cursed be the man who eats the food.' And the Bible were..." I'm sorry. "And the people were faint or weary, and Jonathan said, 'My father troubles the land.'" He's basically saying, Dad doesn't really know what he's talking about. says, look how my countenance has brightened because I tasted, notice this, a little of this honey. It didn't take a lot. Didn't take a lot of honey. Just a little bit of honey. Josh, is this thing on? I don't have a light on here. Okay, so we're just using the mic today? Okay, good. All right. But this is an amazing story because it teaches us a powerful, powerful principle. Because here's what was taking place in this little story here. Saul and his army were first, they were asleep. Now, I don't have time to read you the whole story, so I'll just kind of summarize it. Just kind of follow along with me for a moment. King Saul and his army of Israel were asleep, and they had tremendous enemies, which were the Philistines. Philistines were all around him, and Saul and his army were resting, sleeping. But Jonathan, Saul's son, and his armor-bearer, they kind of had a different idea. And when they saw the Philistines, Jonathan did a little spirit check with God, similar to what Gideon did, if you remember, laying out the fleece. In other words, saying, okay, God, if they do this, then I know that you're working through us. But if they don't do this, then I know it's not time yet. But when Jonathan received his confirmation from God, he and his armor bearer, him and just one guy with one sword, slew dozens of men that were on about a half acre of land. They were kind of in a mountainous area, but there was this like half acre of land out the size of a football field area in which they went down and fought these Philistines because God was on their side and they were fighting victoriously. And to add to that, while they were fighting these men in this little clearing, God caused a tremendous earthquake to add to the battle that Jonathan and his armor bearer were fighting, which added confusion to the Philistines. And the Philistines began killing everything around, including their own army, because there was a spirit of confusion. The earthquake had just pretty much confused what was going on. Well, meanwhile, back at the camp, there was a commotion during this battle of Jonathan and his armor bearer, along with the earthquake, that Saul, who was sleeping, Saul the sleeper, all of his army woke up, and there was Jonathan and his armor bearer with dead Philistines all around them. The other Philistines that were in the area, they just took off and ran. They took flight, and they were running away in fear. And in that moment, Saul stands up, and instead of celebrating a victory, and yes, it may have been an incomplete victory. It was an unfinished victory because a lot of the Philistines ran away. But yet it was a tremendous victory because Jonathan had put the fear in them. They went from sleeping, a whole army sleeping, to one man with one sword and his armor bearer running with him, taking on at least 20 of the Philistines on a half acre of land, and Saul didn't even want to celebrate it. As a matter of fact, he put an oath and a curse on anyone who celebrated by eating some of that honey that they saw that was falling from the trees. I mean, Saul was such a person that says, you know, hey, if we don't go all the way, then we're not going to celebrate any of the way. And a lot of people take on this Saul type of attitude even today. They have this, you know, until my victory is ultimate, until I have it completed, until everything is just the way that I want it, then I really can't celebrate life the way God meant it to be. I can't be happy right now because I've just had a little victory. Wasn't the whole thing that I am praying for God for. Yes, I've had some good things happen. Okay, I'll give God that. And they're not major, but they're just little victories. But I love Jonathan in this story because Jonathan said, I don't care what Saul said. I'm going to taste that honey. Now, granted, he was the son of the king. But he said, because I just had a little victory. I just went out to fight a bunch of these Philistines, me and my armor bearer. I'm tired. I'm hungry, and I'm going to taste a little of that honey that's on there. And yes, the battle's not over. And yes, we still have a lot of Philistines to chase down and defeat. But you know what? I need some energy, and I need some strength. And so I'm going to praise God for this little half acre of victory right here because God has done really something great. And I don't need to ignore the little things while I'm waiting on the bigger things to happen. I don't need to wait on a completed victory and ignore what God has already started right here in this little half acre field. Because a lot of people get indigestion over the incomplete in their lives. A lot of people become undone by what's still undone. And that's why they sit and they don't ever get excited in church, because they're just frustrated, because they're waiting for some final conclusion that they've been praying for or that they're going through, and victory that they've been longing for and that they've been praying for. It hasn't happened yet. But you have to learn to get excited over the partial. You have to learn to get excited over those little victories that God brings to your life and mine. And don't just make a little deal about them. Make a big deal about them. Bible says that Jonathan just tasted a little bit. Didn't have to have all the honey. But he says, I'm going to be happy over just this little bit of honey that I tasted in my mouth because it's refreshed me. God also says in Isaiah chapter 55 that my ways aren't your ways. And you see, the way that the world celebrates is when victory is complete. That's the way the world celebrates. Go to a ball game, and you don't normally see a team at the halftime who's ahead doing somersaults out on the field and going all crazy and shouting, we're winning, we're winning. They wait until the game's over, and then they celebrate. That's not how God works. It's not what He does. And it's not what He wants for you and I to do either. God wants us to recognize those little victories in our lives. The little improvements, those little breakthroughs that happen, the little changes. It comes in bits and pieces. It's not everything. But God wants you to praise Him for the partial, the little victories that He's giving you and I during this year that maybe we've overlooked or looked past or just haven't been able to see yet. Because when He gives you those partial victories, those little victories, it's called a testimony in your life. It's called a praise report. A praise report. And those little bits and pieces give us, as children of God, encouragement. And they give us hope that God hears us. In the book of Numbers, when God told Moses to go about into the desert, and all the people, the Israelites, they were thirsting to death, and God told Moses, He says, now I want you to start telling Israel to start singing. I want you to sing. I want you to tell them to sing to the sand. Yes, I know you're thirsty, and I know you need something to drink. And in Numbers chapter 21, verse 17, they began to sing to the sand, saying, spring up, O well. And so they had their staffs with them and walking the desert, and they were going around singing, spring up, O well. And they were poking in the ground and poking in the sand. And as they were singing to the sand, it was the same as saying to God's ears, we're out here and we need something to drink. And God says, if you want it to produce, then sing to it. King James Version says they sing unto it. Get into it through your praise and worship of me. And this is why praise is so important when we come in here and sing. Kind of slim today, had Pastor Adam and Kisha up here singing, but they still did a fantastic job in leading us to praise and sing songs to our holy God, because we sing unto God. We sing our desires, we sing our needs, and we worship Him. And the same with Israel. He said, sing to the song, say, spring up, O well, and sing ye unto it, and sing to the place where the promise is supposed to happen. How many of you have ever sung over your children at night? You're singing for promises to happen. Sing to that place. Lift up your voice. And so the princes of Israel did it, the nobles of Israel did it, and all of a sudden, water started gushing up in the middle of a desert for them. Don't wait for things to change to your liking before you can praise God. That's the human nature. That's the flesh. Because before we sing to the sand, and before a liquid comes pouring out, which would be a blessing, the blessing would be there enough to feed the animals. The blessing would be enough to keep the animals alive, as well as millions of people alive in the desert. But they had to sing and praise God ahead of time. God didn't say, well, here's the water now, praise me for it. He said, let me see you sing to the sand. Not at the conclusion, it wasn't complete, they didn't see any water from the sand yet. But the way that it happens is when you start praising Him for what He's doing now in your life, it may be a little bit, but there's power in that little bit. Isaiah chapter 54, the one before 55 that I quoted before, puts it this way, sing, O barren one. He didn't say, sing, O super productive one. He didn't say, sing, you who are successful and are blessed by God. He says, sing to the one nobody thinks who has anything to praise for. Sing, O barren one. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. God says, I want somebody who is barren to praise me. God says, I want somebody who's disappointed. God says, I want somebody who's just feeling empty. God says, I want somebody that just feel like things are very unproductive in their life to sing, and let the barren sing to the sand in the dry places. Don't get frustrated over the unfinished. You break forth in singing. Sing when you don't feel like it. Now that's hard to do. Praise when you don't feel like it. Because there's something that happens when you do that. Bible calls it, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, a sacrifice of praise. You're sacrificing what you don't want to do, but you're still praising God about it. That's a sacrifice. You sing a sacrifice of praise that declares that I have a promise, and the way to that promise is when I begin to praise the Lord. Now, there's many things that have happened in your lives and mine when we come to church on Sundays to worship God. You may be mad at God for something that happened or He didn't let happen in your life. And trust me, I know. I've been there. It's hard to praise God when you're mad at Him. I've sat there many times growing up in a Baptist church tight-lipped because I was so mad at God because He didn't answer a prayer that I had prayed fervently for. And it was a while till I got over that. And God will wait for you. You see, He goes on to say in the same chapter of Isaiah 54, verse 2, to enlarge your place, enlarge your tent. He said, I want you to praise me. I want you to go in there and get some chairs because you're going to need more room. And He said, because if you're praying for rain, you need to carry an umbrella. I mean, that's paraphrased. But enlarge your tents. Yes. I know it hasn't happened yet, but enlarge your tent. And when you start singing and praising God, even when you're barren, even when there's nothing left in you, you feel like you're stretched out with no end in sight, Isaiah 54:2 says to enlarge your tent, your place of tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and don't go slack on them. Don't go spare on them. Stretch them out. Lengthen your ropes, strengthen your pegs, the curtains of your habitation. Stretch forth and strengthen your stakes, for you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left hand. Because the break forth doesn't come until the barren begin to sing. See, our mind has it backwards. We want to wait until God's blessed us, until I'm really going to praise you. I'm really going to come up here and give a testimony on what God's doing in my life. You don't hear a lot of testimonies of what I plan and what I'm praying for God to do in my life, because we all want to have that safeguard, like, what if God doesn't answer? I'm going to look like a fool if I go up there and say I prayed for this and it didn't happen. We don't want to do that. Our flesh says, no, you need to sit down and wait for God. The enemy's whispering in your ear. You need to wait to see if God's really going to hear you and answer you for that. But God says for you and me to magnify him before I will manifest. Before you praise, God says you praise before I produce in you. Eric, is that biblical? Well, look at Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat blessed God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in the face of the obstacles that he saw before him. He put praise and worship out on the battlefield instead of his archers and his best swordsmen. In the face of obstacles that were coming against him, have you praised God? Have you praised the Lord for the little victories that he's started in you this year? Maybe you can say, well, I've seen a little bit of improvement. I've seen some breakthrough. If you praise him for the little, he will give you a lot. We get frustrated a lot of times over things that are unfinished. But God said, let the barren sing to me. Your prayers, he hears every one of them. And he takes them and he puts them into his will. And so God said to the Israelites, sing into the sand, take inventory of your life. Have you made any progress? If so, then you need to thank him. Many of you have asked us as a church to pray for certain situations. You've asked us to pray for certain things that you would like to see happen or not to happen, or upcoming events that you've had in your life. And from time to time, I'll ask how things are going in your life that we've been praying for, and I'll often hear many times, oh, yes, it turned out fine, and things are going good, and yes, God did a wonder in those events. And at the same time, many of our intercessory prayer warriors, they never hear back about those small victories that occur in your life that we pray for and are fervently praying about it. We need a little taste of honey from time to time to carry us through these uncertain times we live in, to celebrate those small victories. Amen? Have you seen any progress at all in the situations that you've been dealing with? It may not be complete yet, but is there anything that God has broken through for you? Don't wait until it's all finished and over before I can say, yes, thank you, God, for answering my prayer. But praise him today. We've got to lose that Saul type of spirit that says, I'm not going to praise you. We're not going to celebrate until everything is in order and everything is done. And don't sit there and say, I'm not going to get happy until I get my blessing from God. That's not good at all, because if you've got any victory at all in your life, but you say, it's no big deal until my enemies are gone, or until this has been accomplished, until this has happened in my life, or I'm totally healed. Don't do that, because that's a Saul spirit. We need a Jonathan spirit that says, I'm going to taste the honey. Because God has been good to me. And I know my flesh is saying, don't mess with that. Don't celebrate until everything's good and done. Don't have a feast. And Jonathan says, I need a little something. Because I just went through this and I came through that. A little open door. Any open door God gives you. Maybe it was a phone call. Maybe it was a new little opportunity that came your way. Because you have to recognize those, because when you do, you realize that it's coming bigger if you praise him while it's still little. I know during the pandemic, Pastor Adam and I used to come in here every week, and we would preach to about 100 empty chairs. I think that's about what's in here, maybe a little more, 150 or something like that. 150, 125, I don't know. We put our services online, Facebook. We're still online. We're still trying to get that, you know, working right some from time to time. But we put those online. We were so used to this place being filled with people with worship, and now we're suddenly standing here on stage speaking in the microphone to no one here. We had Andrew that would come up, and he would film us on Facebook Live, and Pastor Adam would sometimes play the piano at the end of his message or my message, and it was good. Didn't have any hand clapping, didn't have anybody getting up and going to the bathroom while we were preaching. None of that. It was empty. But I had to watch out, because when people started coming back, they started coming back slow. And some of you have never came back. But I'm praising God for the partial, because I'm hoping at least you're watching online or listening to the website for our messages. I'm hoping that. But we need to begin to say in our spirit, I don't need anything else. God has been good to me. He's a good, good Father. And I want to praise Him just for the little things. I don't have to praise Him for anything else, because the little things matter, and for that I am grateful. I woke up this morning and I'm breathing. I'm grateful for that. We need the reverse of that is not good. How many of you know that if you woke up breathing this morning, you're blessed? And we need to say that it's good. It's good after the minor blessings. And when we do that, God will start opening up the door for major blessings. Because the very good is coming whenever you start saying the good after the minor blessings God brings to you, and acknowledge those in your life. And you don't allow the minor things just to hold you hostage until it's a great thing. We have a lot of Christians who are hostages today because their own flesh is holding them back from praising God, from Him wanting to pour heaven out onto you. God Himself was not held hostage by the incompletion of His totality, of the whole plan of creation that He had. So why are you held hostage? Why are you being held hostage? He took time after the partial, 7 days, to praise Himself. And so too many times we will not give honor to praise in God until it's very good. And most of life is good if you think about it. But we get so hung up on the completion aspect of it. Listen to this. Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 10, He says, "There is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents." Think about that. All the angels in heaven put on their party hat when one sinner repents. But what about the whole world? Where's the hope? Where's the goal of God getting everyone to love Him and to acknowledge Him? Major plan is to reach the whole world. For God so loved the whole world that nobody should perish. So there are still billions and billions of people who are still lost and undone. But God doesn't wait until the billions get saved before He begins to rejoice. He says when there is one sinner, heaven has a party and rejoices over one sinner who repents and comes home. Well, Pastor Eric, I brought him to church, but they didn't go down to the altar. But at least they came to church. You don't understand. God's already won the victory in that. And we need to begin to praise Him just for the partial aspect and watch Him do some great and mighty thing in that person's life. Because remember, Paul assures us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes through hearing the message, the Word of God. And the message is heard through the Word about Christ. It's good that you brought them to church. Maybe they didn't come down to the altar and want to accept Christ that day. But they still heard the message in God's Word. Heaven gets happy. Heaven gets happy over the incomplete operation. We don't so much, but heaven does. How many things are you waiting and waiting and waiting on for God to accomplish in your life? Even emotionally, not allowing yourself to even enjoy your day because maybe everything's not perfect. Or maybe you haven't seen any signs of progress. Well, if that's so, then I'm sad to say most of your life's going to be sad. Be a sad story, because most of your life, everything won't be perfect. And that's really hard for me as a person that organizes and wants to put things in their place. That's hard for me. The Bible says that Saul rebuked them. I said, nobody celebrate this victory. Don't be tasting any of that honey right now. And I think many times our problem is that we just try to go too far off one tank of gas. Because what God intends for us to do is not just to fight battle after battle after battle after battle. That's not what life's about. That's not what being a Christian is about. Burden after battle after burden after battle. No. That's not what it's about. Instead, what we do is we do battle. And then you stop after you've won a little battle. And you praise God. And you taste a little bit of that honey and get refreshed. And it brightens your eyes back up. And then you get the strength. And then you go at it again. And then you fight a little while. And you persevere. And you don't give up. And you keep pushing. And you keep standing. And you keep fighting. And then God will give you a few more Philistines that will fall down in front of you. And another little half acre or clearing to fight in. And you stop and you taste a little bit of the honey and you praise God because He's still a good, good Father. And I think a lot of Christians need to taste a little more honey nowadays because they're getting defeated. And they disappear from the place of worship. They get discouraged. And they say, you know, I've tried coming to church and praising Him, but I've got so many things going on in my life right now, I just don't have time. And they just need a little taste of honey. Because if you don't praise over the partial and rejoice over something that's incomplete and sing over the barren and sing to the sand, then you'll miss out on experiencing the very best God has for you because you haven't tasted the honey yet. You're still waiting for the victory to be complete. And so when Saul wakes up, he begins to rebuke everybody because the victory wasn't completely won. He says, okay, Jonathan, yeah, well, you killed some, but I saw a bunch of them just flee off to the woods, so now we're going to go have to chase them down. And Jonathan looked at his dad and in so many words plainly said, you're wrong, Dad. God provided this honey on the ground, and I didn't even have to get stung by any bees for it to go up and get it. It's just there dripping. And we need to say today, God has provided maybe you a moment of peace in your life through the hell that you're going through. And it gives you a sweetness in your life. Even while you're in the midst of the battlefield, you may retreat for a moment in the clearing and get your breath back and you find some sweetness in that battlefield that you're fighting right now. And I feel all right today. Hallelujah. I feel good today. I'm okay, and I'm going to take a little bit of this honey, and I'm going to taste it. And maybe you think that God, you know, maybe you think that God's people shouldn't be all happy even when they're going through hell and be joyful every day all the time. Maybe you think that's just a weird type of attitude to have. But this is what I'm trying to reveal to you, is that God's people live by faith. And in faith, it's done. In the faith world. In the faith world, we don't wait until the game's over. We continue by faith. We start praising God before the thing is ever complete. Because God said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and what? The evidence of things not seen. So we don't see the complete victory yet, but through praising Him and keeping after it, that's what strengthens our faith. God will give you small pauses in your battle, not just for rest, but to provide a moment for you to praise Him for every victory that He's given you, no matter how small it is. Yes, you may have some more battles to fight in your life, but also it may be time for you just to take a little taste of honey for a refreshment. Maybe you need to quit coming to church with that old sourpuss face and taste some honey to put a smile on your face. It's hard. Yes, I know it's hard. But taste a little bit of honey. Every now and then, we need to stop and just to see how far that you've come. Some may say, well, Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm still struggling. Well, you used to smoke 3 packs a day. Now you're down to 1 pack. So you're doing good. Can you thank Him for that you don't have to do 3 packs a day? You're maybe down to 1? Well, Pastor, I fell off the wagon every once in a while. Yeah, but at least you're on the wagon. I mean, and whenever you do fall off, something in you says, get up, come on, get up. And you used to not have that get up in you. But look at what God has done for you. And I promise you that if you'll just begin to praise Him for what you see Him doing in those little victories, you'll taste the honey. Have you ever watched a movie you've already seen? I know I don't like to a lot of times, but I end up doing it anyway. And when I do, I end up watching it for some odd reason. Maybe the first time you watched the movie, it was suspenseful. You're just kind of seeing what's going to happen. But not so much the second time, because you know how the story ends. You know that the good guy doesn't fall off the cliff, or the bad guy eventually gets caught or eventually finds his demise. But you still find yourself enjoying the movie again and again. And in fact, when you do watch it, you're not all tied up in the plot this time, because you know how it ends. And so what happens is you can start to appreciate the other aspects of the film, such as maybe the clever dialogue they have in the movie, or some outstanding camera angles or work they've done, or maybe even special effects that they've used, and so on. Since you know the ending, you can enjoy the movie now on a whole different level. In the same way, that's how we can enjoy life, because if we're viewing it for the second time, because we don't have to sweat the outcome of our life, because we know God's ultimate outcome, right? We don't need to wonder if He's going to take care of us, or if He will cause all things to work together for His good, because we know the outcome. We know that since Jesus conquered death, that we can, through Him, conquer life. And that's why when so many of our church family who have underwent long sicknesses and ended up meeting Jesus in glory instead of staying a lengthy time here on earth, we know the outcome. They knew the outcome. And that's what helped them. And in the process, they can enjoy the journey. We can enjoy the journey, because every day should be part of a celebration, even the tough days, because that's God's promise. David said in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, "Taste and see the Lord is good." Taste the honey. And when you do that, you're able to taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Let's begin to pay attention to the small everyday victories, because they're God's way of bringing us joy in our life. They're God's way of giving us strength in our life. And many times we miss out on that, and we wonder why we're so weak so many times. Stop beating yourself up. Take a taste of the honey. The sweet, sweet Spirit of God. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Let's pray. Father, You are our rock and refuge. You say that we're more than conquerors, and we're choosing to believe that in faith. We need Your victory in our situations. At times we can't even see our way out, or even see the end through a way that we're praying for. But let us fall into You and let You win the battle for faith in our hearts. With you, there's victory. And with you, there is trust and our faith increases. Help us to celebrate those small victories that you give us each day that we often overlooked or take for granted. Help us to praise you when we're still unable to see the end of what we have been praying for fervently in our lives, and knowing that as your child that you will take care of us, and that you will take care of that situation that we're praying for, that healing that we ask for, the help that we need. Father, you are our rock and our shelter. And we place our trust in you, for it is there we find hope to carry on. And all the church said,